Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yevamos Daf Nun Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the second line from the end of Daf Nun Zayin Omid Beis. You will notice a triangle, Omar Romi Bar Chamo, but before we begin the Gemara, let us take note of the Nosei Mivneh structure. You notice that a bow tie appears. These are nisyonos. These are attempts. Lahamid hanoisei shel yesh chupa lepsulois kemachloikis tanoim. The topic that we discussed at the end of our previous shiur, starting actually from the top of Nun Zayin Amud Beis, the issue of is there halachic strength to a chupa done with a kohen and someone that is posel to him. That, of course, was the subject of our previous shiur, and of course, in order to appreciate that more, we recommend being familiar with our Daf Yomi shiur of Daf Nun Zayin on the Beis. Triangles will appear in our attempt to set up the issue of Yesh Chupa L'Psulos Kemachloikis Tanoim. We'll have an attempt to keep track of the give and take. So, with the triangle facing upwards, that indicates the point we're trying to make, and the inverted triangle will be a rejection. For those who are not familiar with Yesh Chuv L'Psulus or not, which we saw before as a Machlokis Rav and Shmuel, we glance at the Rashi at the top of Nun Zayamud Beis, Yesh Chuv L'Psulus, Kohen Gadol shichnis al mona bas kohen l'chupa v'lo ba leo. Kohen Gadol is not allowed from the Torah to marry a widow. Let us say he met a widow that was the daughter of a kohen. Now, a daughter of a kohen is entitled to eat from truma unless she becomes disqualified. What would make her disqualified? So, an example of that would be a forbidden type of intimacy that would ruin her status, make her into a halola, and she could not continue partaking of the truma of her father's house. In our sukkah, we're not dealing with intimacy, but rather with the bringing of the woman who is unfit to the kahuna under a marriage canopy. We continue now with today's shiur, second line from the bottom of Nun Zayin Amud Beis, Omar Romi Bar Chamo, Yesh Chupa L'Psulos, the issue that we saw was a Machlokis Rav and Shmuel, Bonu L'Machlokis Rabbi Meir on the one hand, Rabbi Lozer Rabbi Shimon on the other hand. It would be of great use and value to glance back at the Mishnah on Daf Nun Vav Amud Beis, of the lower part of the page. We saw a Mishnah featuring a forbidden kahuna type relationship, an almana to a kohen gadol, a grusha or a chalutza to a kohen hedyot. From the point that they enter erusin, so they are not to partake of truma. Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon allow. So what do we see there? We see kiddushin is done between a kohen and a woman that's forbidden to him. The Tanakama, Rabbi Meir, generally speaking, when you have a Tanakama and there's no name, you can assume it's the opinion of Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir is opposed to her eating of truma, and Rabbi Lozer and Rabbi Shimon are nonplussed by that, and she is able to continue eating from truma if she is, for example, the daughter of a kohen. and if that and if her marriage, as we indicated in the Mishnah, is a marriage to a Kohen, so they would allow her to partake of Truma through her husband, who was Mekadesh her, by virtue of his being Kinyan Kaspo, meaning even if she wasn't a Bas Kohen, which would have entitled her to eat Truma from her father's house, she will be entitled to eat Truma because a Kohen betrothed her. So now, the names that the Gemara just cited, Rabbi Meir on the one hand versus Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon on the other, we just noted from the Mishnah on Daf Nun Vav Amid Beis. And now we continue with the Gemara's analysis at the top of Nun Ches Omer Aleph. The Rabbi Meir, the Omar Kiddushin Pasli, according to Rabbi Meir that we cited as the Tanakama on Nun Vav Amid Beis, that says by the Kohen Godol giving the Almona money in betrothal, she becomes ruined, disqualified from truma consumption. Chupa nami pasla. Chupa also will render her unfit to partake of truma. The Rabbi Elazar of Rabbi Shimon, the Amri Kiddushin lo pasli, chupa nami lo pasla. According to these two authorities, Rabbi Elazar and Shimon, just like we saw there on Nun Vav Beis, that the betrothal, the offering of marriage money to her, did not disqualify her from truma consumption, so too, standing under the marriage canopy with the Kohen, which is who is unfit for her, it will not disqualify her. The Gemara here rejects this paralleling and this analysis. Notice we have a long marking. This is a dechia, a rejection. Umimai. Who is to say as we did? It could be that Rabbi Meir said what he did, and that's over there that he disqualifies her. That's as a result of the man giving her money, the giving of marriage money from a man to a woman, that affects a deal, a transaction, an acquisition takes place. Avol chupa delo koni la lo, but chupa is not the means of acquiring a wife. It's used to consummate a marriage, to complete the nisuin, but it's not the method of initial acquisition. So maybe it's not as serious. It wouldn't disqualify her. Inami. Alternatively, ad kan lo kamri Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon hasam. They took the lenient approach over there, where it didn't passel ela b'kiddushin. It's only there with, and that's with regard to the Kohen Gadol offering the widow money. Delo kravi labia. It's not close. It's not near the intimacy. There's a waiting period between in the time of the Gemara, I should say, because nowadays we don't have this. But in the time of the Gemara, there was a pause, a passage of time between the initial Kiddushin and the eventual Nisuin, the consummation through intimacy. So Kiddushin wasn't close to Bia. Aval chupa de kreva labia, from the point that a couple stands under a marriage canopy until they engage in actual intimacy, it's a very short while, so it's very close to Bia, and Bia certainly would disqualify, a Bia Asura would disqualify the woman from partaking of Truma. So Chupa, which is close to Bia, Hachinami de Pasla, they, Rabbi Elazar and Shimon, would say that it will disqualify her. Ela, notice another triangle, another attempt to set up the issue of Yesh Chupa Lepsus, Machlokas Tanoim, we see here. Ela, Iiko, Lameimar, Beplukta, Dehani Tanoim, if there is any room to suggest that there's a machlokes tanoim, then it would be like the following: Desanya, nisu zu vazu, ksheros upsulos. Nisu is a word that's a little hard to translate in our sukya, but we'll say it's a completion of marriage, a consummation of marriage. Ksheros and psulos, that means the couple is unfit to marry one another. O she nichnasu l'chupa v'lo nivalu. we're only translating now. The Gemara will have to clarify this source. Or they entered a marriage canopy without actual intimacy. Oichlois mishaloi ve'oichlois betruma. The husband must provide his new wife with sustenance, with food, and if the man is a Kohen, so she will eat truma. Now, the Gemara interrupts this Tanaic source the need for clarification. After the brackets, the source itself continues. The Gemara asks, or points out, nichnesu. The word nichnesu l'chupa implies, michlal, de nisu, nisu mamish. That nisu means actual intimacy for the purpose of consummating the marriage. Could that possibly be? Could, as a result of a puzzle, having intimacy with the woman, would she be qualified for eating truma? How could the Mishnah, how could this Tanaic source say oichlois betruma? So it can't be mamish. The Rashi on the fourth line from the top points this out. Michlal denisu mamish b'veila. B'veila means intimacy. B'tmiha, with wonderment you read this. V'chibia b'psula mi'ikol amad amar delo pasul mitruma debei nasha. The intimacy with someone that's unfit. Let's say, like we had the example before, Kohen Gadol engages in intimacy with an almona that was the daughter of a Kohen. Would anyone say that that would not disqualify her? Ela pirushe kamefaresh. The understanding of the source is that the opening is not a distinct, separate case from the second line of the source, but rather the second line of the source explains the opening of the source. Nisu keitzai, what does nisu mean? Kagon shenichnesu l'chupa v'lo nifalu. So now we read that in the Gemara. We continue. Ela lav, in the Gemara text, you have to say that the second line of this text is an explanation of the opening. Kegoin shenichnesu l'chupa v'lo nivalo, meaning the word nisu at the beginning of the source. What does nisu mean? It means marriage. And how is that expressed? Through standing under a chupa without the intimacy. V'katani ochlos mishalo v'ochlos betruma. And the Tanakhama says they are entitled to continue eating truma if she's the daughter of a Kohen, or if he is a Kohen and she's a Bas Yisrael, this will enable her to partake of truma, even though we're dealing with an illegal, illicit type relationship. What do we see from here? That chupa does not disqualify. Chupa lo pasla. Rabbi Shmuel benoishu Rabbi Yochanan Broka Omer kol shebi'osa machilosa. Any situation where, as a result of intimacy, she would be entitled to eat, chuposa machilosa, so too the canopy will enable her to eat. V'chol she'ein bi'osa machilosa chuposa, ein, again, v'chol she'ein bi'osa machilosa, ein chuposa machilosa. And if you have a situation where the bia would render her unfit, she would not be able to eat as a result of the intimacy, so too the chupa will disqualify her. So what do we see here? Very simply, the idea of yesh chupa lepsulos, does the chupa with a couple, a Kohen couple that's posel, have an effect? According to the Tanakhama, no. According to Rabbi Shmuel, yes. The Gemara says, Mimai, who says that this is the parallel? Dilma, Rabbi Shmuel, ben Yishua, Rabbi Yochanan, Broiko, Karebi Meir, Svirole. Maybe Rabbi Shmuel, who represented the strict opinion, holds like Rabbi Meir, Diomar Kiddushin lo achla. Not that it's a function of the Kiddushin, it's the acquisition of the wife, that the husband acquiring his wife that rendered her unfit. But not that the chupa apostles. The Gemara responds to that. Hi. Kol she'ein biyosa machilosa ein chupa machilosa. If that pshat, the rejection pshat, were correct, then the language shouldn't be as it was. Rather, kol she'ein bi'osa machiloso ein kaspa machiloso mi'voyele. Kaspa is the initial kiddushin money that's given. So that if Rabbi Shmuel ben Noshe or Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha was holding like Rabbi Meir, he should have said aloch in the spirit of Rabbi Meir, with a reference or an emphasis on kiddushin. Kaspa is the money given. That's what miboyale it should have said. The Gemara says that does not convince us. Dilma Ivy the Omar Tanakama Chupa, maybe since the Tanakama used the term chupa, Omar Ihu Nami Chupa. He also chose to use the word chupa, but really it's a reference to kaspa, making Rabbi Shmuel ben Noshe Rabbi Baroka holding like Rabbi Meir that it's the Kiddushin apostles and not the chuppah. We continue with the topic of chuppah lipsulos, though this is a new trend of thought, hence we have a slash mark before Rav Amram. Before we continue with the Gemara itself, let us glance at the side under the Nosei, the topic heading. Rav Amram b'shem Rav Sheshes Oimer Shegam Hatano Soiver Diyesh Chupa Lepsulos. Rav Amram will say in the name of Rav Sheshes that there is a Tana that holds Yesh Chupa Lepsulos. Attempts to show that from a Mishnah in Maseches Soita. In the Gemara text itself, we've noted a long point. The Gemara will go through several stages in order to show how the Tana feels that way. And we've noted this with a double star in the other margin. Simanu kinekuda aruka hodi omar vetona tuna. Shloisha shlovim kidei laharois shatana oimer yesh chupa lepsulas. So what we've presented so far is the structure of the Gemara. With we should note there's another mivne note, a house marking that appears. The house marking will appear in two directions. This is a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of the back and forth style of the Gemara. They represent, as we've written on the side, hezberim, explanations, kidei levarir hapshat b'mishnah b'soita, in order to clarify the explanation of the Mishnah Maseches Sota, likras hoychocha diyesh chupa lipsulos, in anticipation, in leading up to the opinion that there is chupa lipsulos. The inverted house marking indicates a rejection of what is attempted to be said. Now, before we can get into the Gemara, maybe we'll read the first two lines of the Gemara itself. In the middle of the Omer, Omer of Amram, Ha Milsa Omar Lon Rav Sheshes. The following is something Rav Sheshes told us. Ve'an harinhu la'ainin mimasnisin, and he has enlightened our eyes from a Mishnah. And what does Rav Sheshes say? Yesh chupa lepsulos. As we've seen already today in our shir and in our previous shir, that by a Kohen bringing a woman that's unfit for him in marriage under a marriage canopy, that would have halachic ramifications. And in the examples that we've been using in our Gemara, it had to do with the woman becoming disqualified from truma consumption. Vitana tuna, and the Tana bears this out. The Mishnah that's quoted is, as we indicated from Maseches Soita, a husband who suspects his wife of foul play, and he warns her not to be with so and so, and he specifies an individual. And if it is revealed by witnesses that she went into private, we don't know what took place between the woman and her boyfriend, but we have witnesses that tell us that she went into private. So the husband of that woman brings her to the Beis HaMikdash, and there is a ritual or a procedure that takes place that enables us to determine whether she is guilty of actual immorality, of actual intimacy with the other fellow, with the paramour, or not. In the course of that ritual, she swears that she did not do the sin. And the text that we have now in the Gemara is a quote from that section. Omein shelo sotisi arusa unesua shemeres yavam uknusa. Omein is the acceptance of an oath that she did not go astray. Sotisi is to go astray, is to have intimacy with the paramour, not as an arusa, not as a nesua, not as a shomeres yavam, nor as a knusa. The terms are going to be dealt with by the Gemara itself, so we're not going to translate. Hai arusa hechidomi, when the woman is swearing that she did not go astray as an arusa, what does that mean? I lema dekoni la kishi arusa v'istatra. Now here, the first word online is a very tricky word. Koni, in this case, means to warn her. Kinui and stira, these are terms that are common or particular to the topic of sota. Kinui is where the husband warns her. Stira is another word, it means going into private. Seser is something secret or in private. So, does this mean when she swears that she did not go astray as an arusa, does that mean that the husband had warned her while she was an arusa to him, meaning he had given her money, we say he betrothed her, but hadn't actually consummated the marriage yet? Is that the case, that he warned her while she was an arusa v'istatra, and she went into private with another man after the warning, v'kamashke lo kishi arusa, and he brings her to the Beis HaMikdash to drink from the special waters that will determine, that will prove her status? That can't be. Arusa bas mishtehi is an arusa subject to this ritual, mishtehi, to the drinking, the hotnan. We have another Tanaic source that says arusa v'shemeres yavam loy shoisos v'loy noitlus ksuba. A woman who is an arusa, she's betrothed to a man, or she's waiting for a yibum marriage, they don't drink. There's a posuk in the topic of sota that says tachas isheich, that she has to be under her husband, under the rubric of her of a consummated marriage, which is called nisuin. It's too early in the game for her to be subjected to the drinking. So an arusa doesn't drink, nor does a shomeres yavam. And if there are witnesses that she had been in private with someone, and she had been warned and she had been in private, she will not get a ksuba. She caused her own disqualification or her own forbidding to her husband. A married woman who does misbehave in this sense, is intimate with another man, so she has to leave her husband if it's under willing circumstances. In other words, if her immorality was with her approval, as opposed to a case of a rape, other than with a wife of a Kohen, which there's a different rule. But the main point, an arusa does not drink. So what does the source mean when she swears that I didn't go astray as an arusa? Ella dekoni lo kishi arusa veistatra vekomashkelo kishi nisua. He had warned her while they were still in a state of erusin. She went into private, but the drinking didn't take place until after her becoming a nisua. So the Gemara asks, could this sequence of events have led to a drinking? Omi badki lo amai, would the water have checked her out under these circumstances? What did we describe? We described a man who had a wife in the arusa stage. She went off with some other man in private. We don't know what happened there. And then he continued living with her. The husband, that is, continued and consummated the marriage with her. But he shouldn't have done that. She was, technically speaking, forbidden to him. The husband's being with her after she had been in private with another man and having received a warning against that, she is forbidden to her husband. So a man, a husband that takes his wife to drink when he himself has done something errant, the water does not check. V'hotanya, the pasuk says, v'nika ha'ish me'avoin, and the man is cleansed from his sin. Bizman sho ish menuka me'avon, and the drosha on this is that when the husband is free from sin, hamayim boikim esisha, then the water will check out his wife. We didn't explain before, maybe some of you are familiar with the procedure that a woman who is found to be was guilty, so the water causes her to swell. It's something of a miraculous nature that took place in the Beis HaMikdash. The water will work only if the man is sin-free vis-a-vis these matters. However, ein ho'ish menuka me'avon, if he, the husband, is not free from sin, as would be the case over here, where after going into private, he continued to consummate his marriage with her. Well, ein hamayin boikim es ishtoi, the water wouldn't check her out to begin with. So that can't be the case featured in Masechah Soita, where she accepts upon herself by oath that she was not wayward. Ella, so what must be the explanation of the source at the beginning of our long point? Dekoni lo kishi arusa v'statra. The husband had warned her while they were still in the state of erusin, and she went into private, and then with that other man, and witnesses can tell us that they went into private, and at that point she becomes usher to her husband. V'nichnasa l'chupa v'lo nivala, and she had entered the marriage canopy with her husband, but no intimacy. See, without the intimacy, the water can still check. And what we see here is that the other requirement is also met. She's called tachas isheich. She's considered under the control, under the rubric of her husband. Ushma mino, and from this we see from the fact that he's able to cause her to drink the water, the sota water, after having only reached the chupa stage, that indicates yesh chupa lepsulos. The woman here is not fit for him. She's psulot him because after having gone into private, she becomes also to her husband, and she went into private before the chupa. So she was psula to her husband, she's unfit to her husband, and yet the chupa takes effect. It enables the drinking to take place, a fulfillment of tachas ishech, under your husband, literally translated. So this is the point, that the concept of yesh chupa lepsulos, albeit this doesn't have anything to do with the issue of becoming disqualified from truma consumption, but you see the power of chupa, even though it is with psulos. Omar Rava v'tizbra. Now you notice the inverted house marking, so this is a rejection. On the side of the Gemara, we have a mivnet, because a new shape is going to appear, the trapezoid shape. This is a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of a give and take style. These the inverted trapezoid represents kushios. Hagemara makshet. The Gemara will ask, shehamoker besoita einoi sam chuti loy mitartzosa. The source from sota that was used for making the point is not reliable. It's not mitartzosa. It's not straight. It's not smooth. Umemela ef shelachich mimenu devar halacha. And you can't prove from a source that's unreliable a point of law. In our case, loimar sheyesh chupa lepsulos, to come to the halachic conclusion that yesh chupa lepsulos from a source that's not reliable. The trapezoid or volcano shape with the narrow part facing up represents tshuvos, responses. Nisyonis loimar shamokur samchuti, attempts to show that the source is reliable. He mitartzosa. That's the lashon of the Gemara. The expression of the Gemara is that it's mitartzosa. It's straight. It's smooth and reliable. Ba'amud beis likras soif hamahalich, on the nun chesum beis toward the end of this sequence. Ha'gemara tavi shloisha drachim shemesumonos 1-3 belimud hamokor besoita. So, which basically means that the Gemara will show in three different paths, three different ways, or three different angles, how you can read the source in from Maseches Sota, making the source reliable. The Gemara. Now we turn to the Gemara. Omar Rava, v'tizbara d'hometar tzosahi. Is the sota source reliable? V'ha ki also Rabbi Acha bar Chanino midroma. When Rabbi Acha came from the south, also va'aisi masnisi biyodei, he came with a Tanaic source in hand. And the pasuk says mi baladei ishech. This pasuk is also from the context of sota. And what do we learn from that expression mi baladei ishech? Mi shekodma. Shivas Baal Boyal, the framework in which the sota ritual can take place hinges upon or is dependent upon the woman having had intimacy at first with her husband. In other words, Shivas Baal, that's literally lying with her husband, intimacy with her husband would have had to precede any wayward act, any intimacy with someone else. However, if the intimacy with the paramour precedes intimacy with husband, so then the framework for the sota ritual is lacking. That having been said, so what we described before as Omein Shalosotisi Arusin, how did we explain that? That he warned her, the husband warned her while she was in Arusa, and she went into private, and at that privacy, it could very well be, in fact, intimacy with the paramour, but all this time, there had been no intimacy yet with the husband. So the explanation we gave for Arusa doesn't conform to the framework in which sota operates, because the description we gave before, just to repeat ourselves, demonstrates or illustrates a case where kodma shivas boyel, the boyel, the paramour, would have had intimacy before the husband. Omar Romi bar Chama mishtachas lo, we can preserve our original explanation and have the shchivas habaal before the boyel, kegoin shebo oleo arusa beveis aviha, while she was still in arusa, before the privacy. That's an important point. So there's no issue of sin before the her going into privacy with the paramour. The husband had intimacy with the betrothed wife while she was still in her father's house, because the betrothal period, the Erusin period, is is understood as a time at which, during which the woman is getting ready to consummate her marriage, and all that time she's living in her father's house. So the Orus had gone to her house where she was living under her father's, in her father's domain, and had intimacy with her, and there's no, we'll say, sin per se, no Torah level sin in his having intimacy with her after he betrothed her. So you have then Kod Mashivas Habau Laboel, and the source is reliable. We should point out that in order for her to be Tachas Isheich, then the Chuppah would have had to take place, and that would be then the resuscitation of our point of Yesh Chuppah L'Psulos. The Gemara asks, though, to say that that's what took place by the Arusa. In order to say that, you'll have to maintain a parallel with the other example in that source. In the source, it described Arusa. She says, Omen Shelo Sotisi Arusa, Nesua. She also says, Shemeres Yavam. Shemeres Yavam is the widow waiting for the levirate marriage to her brother-in-law. The Kavosoga Vishemeres Yavam, to, as we say, to keep the parallel in the original source, using this explanation, you would have to say Shebo Oleho Yavam Beves Chomiha, that the Yavam, the brother-in-law that's going to marry her, had relations with her while she was not yet, where she was literally in her father-in-law's house, namely in the house of her deceased husband, or in her father-in-law's house, if you will, prior to her coming to the Yavam, mamish, literally. Or I should say, fully. Now, could that possibly be the pshat? Does that fit into the words that the Yavam had intimacy with her before the paramour? If that were the case, you wouldn't use the term Shemeres Yavam. The Gemara at the top of Omid Beis, Shemeres Yavam Koris La. If a Yavam had had intimacy with her, you wouldn't call her Shemeres Yavam, waiting for the Yavam. Ishtoi Ma'al Yahi. A Yavam that has intimacy, even if it's not with the marriage intent, but he had intimacy with her, that doesn't matter. She becomes his wife in a full sense. De'ha'omarav kona lakol. This is a reference to a Gemara that we had on Daf Nun Vav. Rav described the less than fully intended intimacies described in that previous sukya, even though they're intimacies that don't have full yibum intention, nevertheless they acquire in the fullest sense to make her, the Yavama, the Yavam's wife. So to describe Kodma Shivas Ayavam, you know, Bevesavi Chamiha, in her father-in-law's house, that wouldn't be an accurate explanation of the term Shemeres Yavam. So the Gemara responds, no, the source is okay, Kishmuel, because we are learning in accordance with Shmuel, Diyamar Loi Kono Elo Ledvorim Amurim Beparsha, that it's not a real kinyan, a full acquisition, that kind of intimacy, an intimacy where it's the Shane's noose, where it's not with Yibum intent. So, therefore, she can still be described as a Shemeres Yavam. And, again, with that, we preserve the explanation of Arusa, or Kodmo Shivas Habal, because he was bought of the base of Yah. The Gemara says back, Midi hu taima elo l'rav, but our entire discussion right now is, we'll say, within Rav. Ha'omar Rav. Let us just remind ourselves that it was Rav that says Yesh Chupa L'Psulos. So there's this whole sukya of Rav Amram saying that Rav Sheshes holds Yesh Chupa L'Psulos, and the Tana supports that. This ultimately is all for the sake of supporting Rav. So to say that we're learning according to Shmuel would be out of bounds. So we continue back in the Gemara. Midiu time elo the Rav. Is it not so that our whole discussion is for the benefit of Rav? Ho omar Rav kona lakoil. Rav says that a bias nus that a yavam has with the yavama, like we just described, where he's boalel bebeis chamiha, would make her a full fledged wife, and you wouldn't use the term shemeres yavam. The Gemara answers hocha b'mayaskinon. Kagain the Ovad Bo Mimer Ubeis Shamai He. Now here there's a very big turn, and it's not in the words of the Gemara, but thanks to Rashi we can see this. At this point the issue of Kodmo Shchivas Habal is jettisoned, is released. We're not fixated on that. So we're not makbid on Kodmo Shchivas Habal. So we have to like start with a new frame of mind. So what is the case of Shemeres Yavam and she's still called Shemeres Yavam? Well, he gave her money. The Yavam gave her money. And and according to the opinion of Beis Shammai, when a Yavam gives the Yavama money, Ubeis Shammai Diyomer Maimer Kine Kinyan Gomor. Now, as far as the issue of Kodmo Shchivas Habal, which was based on Exeris HaKosuv, we had Mibaladei Sheikh, so Rashi explains the first husband was with her as husband and wife already, and understand that the Yavam essentially is only a continuation of his deceased brother. So you have this element of Kodmo Shchivas Habal, and the Yavam had given her money. With the giving of money, so she is called Tachas Isheich. So you have all of the necessary elements without the husband, the Yavam, that is, having done any act of intimacy with her. So then the source, we can keep the original explanation of Arusa is the Kodmo Shchivas Habal was Bebeis Aviha. The Yavam is, this source is according to Beis Shammai, where Maimer was done, so it's Tachas Isheich, and the first husband had already been with her, so you have Kodmo Shchivas Habal. Everything so far is so good. The Gemara continues. Ihachi, if the case of the Shemeres Yavam is where he simply gave her money and there was no intimacy, Hainu Arusa, it's then redundant. That's the same thing as an Arusa, where the man gave her money. And you don't have repeat in Tanaic sources. So the Gemara answers, Uletameich, Nesua Uknusa, Lav Chado Milsahi, the term Nesua that appeared in the source, is it not the same as Knusa? Knusa what's Nesua? Nesua is where the husband and wife consummated their marriage with an act of intimacy. Knusa is where the Yavam consummated his marriage with the Yavama with an act of intimacy. So, are you going to say that there's a problem there? That Nesua and Knusa are one thing and it's being repetitive? Ela Nesua dide uknusa de chavre. The terms, though they're very similar in terms of acts, Nesua refers to a man consummating the marriage with his own wife, with the woman with whom he initiated the marriage. Uknusa de chavre means that's the Yavam consummating the marriage with, chavre means his brother's wife, of course, under mutter circumstances. So that as far as the terms Nisua and Kenusa, there's no redundancy. They're describing different types of marriage consummations. Ha-cha-nami arusadi de-vishamiras yavam de-chavre. With regard to the giving of money seemingly repeated, no. Arus is where the man gave money to his own wife, his own betrothal. And Shamiras Yavam is where the Yavam gives money to the wife of his brother, his deceased brother. That's the Chavrei, his deceased brother. So far, we're numbering this as number one, as the first resolution of the source of, and with that in mind, we mentioned before, we suggested that with this then, that the attempt to say Tana Tuna can be preserved. Namely, that from this source we would see Yesh Chupa L'Psulos. Rav Papa Omar. Hai Tanahu. At this point, a new approach is taken. That's why we call Rav Papa's viewed as number two. The warning took place as she was in Arusa, and she went into private. And he gave her, the drinking took place after she was a Nesua. And this Tana is not bothered by Kodma Shivas Baal Leboyel. So that, once again, he had warned her when she was an Arusa. She went into private. And he gave her to drink. Now, how did he give her to drink? You would have to say that there was they were in a chuppah. So we have the concept of tachas isheich with the chuppah, and as far as the requirement of kodma shchivas habal, which was raised as an objection to this explanation at the bottom of Omid Aleph by Rav Acha Bar Chanina. So this Tana doesn't require that. So in order to support this point, we had to say that this construction is according to the following Tana Desanya Ein Mekanin Lo Larusa Lashkoisa Kishi Arusa. Warning isn't given to an Arusa with the anticipation of giving her to drink while she is still an Arusa. Ava Mekanin Oisa Lashkoisa Kishi Nisua. But we can warn her not to be with so and so with the while she is still an Arusa in anticipation of her drinking when she is a Nesua. And just to repeat ourselves, and we're emphasizing, based on the Lishna Achrina and the Rashi, that this Tana doesn't hold from the drosha of Kodma Shivas Habal, that the husband had to actually precede the paramour in intimacy. Number three, Rav Nachmon Bar Yitzchok Omar, Al Yedei Gilgal. We take a look at Rashi. Rav Nachman Omar Masnisin Bidalo Kino Velo Istatra Kishi Arusa. The Tanaic source is not dealing with the case of the husband having warned her and her going into private while she was an Arusa. Elo Kino Lo Mishenisa. He warned her after he had married her. That's the istatra umekane lo ayadei kinui shalachshav. So we're talking about basically the source is dealing with a standard case of nisuin, of a married, fully consummated marriage, husband and wife, and he warned her after they were married not to be with so and so, and he then brings her to drink through the Kinui Shalachshav, meaning the kinui that he made after she was in a suwa. Umegalgil olea shvua, and Megalgil's roll upon her. Now, the woman swears to her innocence in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, once the woman is swearing, we can now attach to that oath other matters that would not have been qualified as the initiation of an oath. But once a legitimate oath is imposed, we have the right to attach other matters that she has to swear to them as well. That's umegagulel shvua kol yomim shoiso tachtov mishe nisarso v'nivdeka umikan legilgul shvua minat Torah. We can force her to swear concerning other times, in these earlier times when she was attached to him, that had at those times she been wayward, i.e. while she was merely an arusa, had she been wayward, she would not be allowed to be with the husband. So the reference to arusa and shomeres yavam are references to earlier times that she is swearing through the power of Gilgal. And with that explanation, we don't run into the objection that Rav Acha bar Chanina had raised. My only reservation about this third approach is that I'm not sure that through this approach, once we're re-explaining Arusa, we're not necessarily seeing, according to Rav Nachum bar Yitzchok, we're not necessarily seeing proof to Yesh Chupa L'Psulos. You can see we have a slash mark indicating that which follows is a new trend of thought. And on the side of the Gemara we have a no say it topic heading. Yavama She'osa Bo Yavam Maimer. Reuven, Shimon, and Levi are brothers. Reuven died, leaving a widow. Shimon offers her money, Maimer. We've discussed Maimer many times in this Masicht already, but if you're a first-time listener, so we'll just briefly say that this is a rabbinic instrument where a Yavam can offer money to the Yavama, sort of starting off the Yibum process. Technically speaking, Rav in the Gemara actually insists on that being done. So you have a Yavam that gave money to the Yavama. And by the way, if a Yavam does that, so rabbinically, any of the other brothers are not allowed to marry her. The Yavam then gave her money, and there's another brother, so Shimon gave Reuven's widow Maimer money, and there happens to be Levi. Yadua Shabias Ochiv Osur Midrabonan. For Levi to have intimacy with her would be a rabbinic violation. Haim he nechsheves, is she considered Mishtameres Labia Psulo Midrabonan? Ubekach Nifseles Meachilas Truma. Now, in order to appreciate this, one has to think out of the box a little bit. The Yavama, this widow of Reuven, is on a Torah level, is eligible to marry Shimon and or Levi. Shimon gave her money, but on a Torah level, Levi is there waiting in the balance. So even though Shimon is the rightful brother after his having given her money, but she's also the word waiting isn't exactly the best word, but she's a candidate, so to speak, to be all done by Levi. So that having been said, we have a concept that we've discussed in the last couple of Dapim, where there is we had the example in the Mishnah of a Kohen Gadol having done Kiddushin with an Almona, and does she become disqualified because the woman is waiting for the consummation of marriage by the Kohen Gadol, who is prohibited to marry her Kohen Gadol, as opposed to a common Kohen. Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry a widow. So we saw an opinion in the Mishnah, with Rabbi Meir's opinion, that a woman who's waiting for a Bia Psula becomes disqualified from Truma. The Yavama, in our case, where you've got Shimon having done Mimer and Levi waiting in the balance, that too might be described as a Mishtameris, the Bia Psula Midrabonon. Does she become disqualified from Truma? So now let's continue with the one more point, the Mivneh, the structural note. We have diamonds that will appear. These are Deois B'Divrei Rabbi Yochanan. These are opinions within Rabbi Yochanan. So now the Gemara. Sholach Rav Chanino Mishmei de Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Chanino sent the following teaching in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Ha'oise Maimer B'Avimtai. Using the names and the example we had before, Shimon offers money to Reuven's widow. Reuven died, leaving no children. So Shimon is one of the brothers, surviving brothers. He gives her money, v'yeshlo ach, and he has a brother, Levi. Afilu hu kohen, v'hi kohenes. Even if he's a kohen, the brothers are kohanim, and she is the daughter of a kohen, poslo min hatruma. She becomes disqualified from eating truma. If she's the daughter of a Kohen, she's a Kohenes, she, up till now, she would have been eligible to eat truma from her father's house. But during this, we'll say, this interim period where Maimer was given to her by Shimon, and there's another brother eligible to marry her, Midoraisa, but not Midorabonon. So until Shimon actually consummates the marriage, she, according to this teaching, is disqualified from Truma. The Gemara wants to clarify, Leman, according to whom, according to which Tanaic opinion is Rabbi Yochanan saying this? And this is a question, so we have a long question marking. E Lema, and the double underline represents stages in trying to clarify according to whom was this teaching said. Rabbi Yochanan is an Amora, so we're trying to find a Tanaic authority upon which his comment is based. So, E Lema the Rabbi Meir. If you say that Rabbi Yochanan is based on Rabbi Meir, that we saw in the Mishnah, that the Kohen Gadol and his kiddushin with the almona renders her unfit to truma, disqualifies her from truma. The Gemara says, well, you can't say it's Rabbi Meir's opinion, that this Rabbi Yochanan comment is according to Rabbi Meir. Amar, do you are my Rabbi Meir? When is it that Rabbi Meir said mishtameres lebiyah psula loy achla? A woman waiting for Bia Psula becomes disqualified, does not eat from Truma. Mido Raisa, when the offense committed, the Bia Psula would be Poslo Mido Raisa. For example, a Kohen Gadol marrying, having intimacy with an Almona. That's something the Torah prohibits. Derabanan, mi Omar, the fact that Levi is waiting for her, so to speak. If Levi would go ahead after Shimon did Maimer with her, Levi would consummate the Yibo marriage, that would be a rabbinic violation, not a Torah-level violation. So it's hard to say that Rabbi Meir would be the basis of Rabbi Yochanan's stringent ruling. V'yelo l'Rebbe Lozer v'Rabbi Shimon. Maybe Rabbi Yochanan is in accordance with them. They had said that as long as intimacy did not take place between the Kohen Gadol and the widow back in the Mishnah, she is not disqualified. So is Rabbi Yochanan's point in accordance with what they said? No, it's not likely that Rabbi Yochanan would say something according to them, because it would be terribly obvious. Mind you, where the woman is waiting, is awaiting Bia Psula on an intimacy that's prohibited on a Torah level.
Achla, but nevertheless, she hasn't had the intimacy yet. She is allowed to eat truma. The Rabbana and Mibaya, where she's waiting for Levi, so to speak, which is only a which would be a worst case scenario, only a rabbinic violation. All the more so, they would be lenient in allowing her to eat truma. Eloki also Ravin Omar. Ravin's role is to explain Rabbi Yochanan. That's why we have him in a diamond, number two. So when Ravin came, Omar, he said, Asa bo maimer biyavimto. Where Shimon offered her money, and there's another brother, Divrei HaKoil. The Divrei HaKoil is a reference to Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish that we will see shortly. Everyone will agree, Achla. Even Rabbi Meir. There's a Rashi under the Gemara text, around the eight lines underneath that. Divrei HaKoil, Bein the Rabbi Yochanan, Bein the Reish Lakish, Achla, she will eat, Betruma de Bein Nasha, from Truma of her father's house, if she's a Bas Kohen. Daha afilu le Rebbe Meir lo pasil. Even Rebbe Meir, who we saw in the Mishnah, wouldn't pasil ela b'sharis le b'absul daraisa, only if she's waiting for a b'absul on a Torah level. But here, with that other brother in the picture, his bia would only be an isur de rabbonan, a rabbinic prohibition. So if Shimon gave her money, she continues eating truma. Yesh loy ach cholol, if the Yavam that gave her money has a brother that is unfit for the kahuna, he's a cholol. In other words, their father had two wives. One wife produced Shimon, Reuven and Shimon, and the other wife was a divorcee who produced Levi. So Levi is a cholol. He is unfit on a Torah level to partake of truma. So she, the Yavama, with let's say a brother-in-law that's a cholol in the waiting in the wings. Divrei HaKoil eino ocheles. Everyone will agree that she does not partake of truma. The Rashi elaborates on this. Divrei HaKoil lo ochlo. Rashi, you'll see at the end of the medium-sized lines, afilu hi bas koyen. Even if she's the daughter of a koyen, v'afagav de ovad bo maimer koyen kosher. Even though Shimon was a koyen kosher, gave her money. Akati mishtameres lebia psula, she is nevertheless considered in the position of waiting for a bia psula, lebia sacholol, the bia, the intimacy of the cholol, to have your psula deraisa, the lo ochla. Now, this idea of being posul deraisa, it would seem to me, it means that he, the cholol, is excluded from truma on a Torah level. Vafilu Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, Kimachshiri, even they who allow, in the case of the Mishnah, the Almona L'Kohen Gadol Kimachshiri, that's in the case of an Almona with a Kohen Gadol. Sheyesh Loi L'Acha B'Mol Kimachshiri, that Kohen Gadol, if it wasn't with an Almona, if it were a woman suitable for him, he would enable her to eat. He would merit her eating. But one who's waiting for intimacy with a Yavam who happens to be a Cholol, he doesn't have the power to merit someone, his wife's eating of Truma. He is a Zar. If he would eventually have intimacy with her, he would make her into a Cholola, disqualifying her on a Torah level from eating truma. So if that were the scenario where you've got Shimon and Levi, that Levi happens to be a cholol, then everyone will agree that she, while she is a Shemeres Yavam, even though she received money, Maimer from a Kohen Kosher, she will be disqualified. Again, based on this concept of Shemeres, Mishtameres will be a Psula. Lo nechleku ela shenosan lo get. The machloikis between Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, maybe we should note that originally we had cited Rabbi Yochanan's name, so we're referring to Rabbi Yochanan and his bar plukta Reish Lakish. They have a machlokis when the Kohen gave her a get. The Kohen had done Maimer, but he also gave her a get. Now, a get with a Yavama, if you're a first-time listener, so then you're hearing for the first time that that is a rabbinic instrument. It works only on a rabbinic level. That if a Yavam gives a Yavama a get, he cannot proceed further to do Yibum on a derabbanan, on a rabbinic level. So our Kohen had given her a get. Rabbi Yochanan Omar Ocheles. Rabbi Yochanan says the fact that Yavam, the Kohen Yavam, had given her a get, that does not disqualify her from Truma. Reish Lakish Omar Eino Ocheles. Reish Lakish says she cannot. She doesn't eat Truma. Rabbi Yochanan Omar Ocheles. Afilu the Rabbi Meir, the Amar Eino Ocheles. Even according to Rabbi Meir, who was stringent in the Mishnah, that as a result of kiddushin with someone puzzled to her, she does not eat hani mili mishtameres labia psula d'oraisa. That's where she was waiting to consummate a marriage with someone that's unfit on a Torah level. Aval d'rabbanan achla, a yavama that receives a get, her prohibition to the yavam is only on a rabbinic level. So that's not reason for her disqualification. It's not reason enough for her being disqualified from Truma. Reish Lakish Omar Eino Oicheles. Reish Lakish says she stops eating. She stops. She becomes disqualified from Truma. Afilu the Rebbe Lozer Rebbe Shimon Diamri Oicheles. Even according to them who are lenient in the Mishnah that said she was able to eat in the case of the Kohen Gadol and the Almona, who had done kiddushin with her, hani mili, that is true that she is not disqualified by virtue of the fact that the almon is waiting for the kohen gadol. Diyesh lo lahachil b'mokam achir, he doesn't disqualify her because he grants under other circumstances the right to eat a kohen gadol who would marry what the Torah prescribes him to marry. Aval hocha, Kevon di ein loy lahachil b'mokom acher loy. But here, he doesn't have the power to grant truma rights in another situation. Now we have to go over this last point in a clearer fashion. The Gemara, when it says, when Reish Lakish says that even according to Rav Lozer Rav Shimon, where the Kohen Gadol is considered Yesh Lach B'Malka Machir through the mechanism that he's done over here. Here he was Mekadesh and Almona. That's a bad thing to do. But if he were Mekadesh, if he betrothed a woman kosher for him, so it enables it on a Torah level. It's called Kinyan Kaspo. He grants her truma eating rights. Aval hocha, when you're dealing with the case of a get, the Yavam gave her a get. Kevon the ein lo lach mokam acher, nesinas haget never is the vehicle through which a woman becomes eligible to eating truma. So, since we're dealing with a case of get, this will be the basis of disqualification, even according to the lenient opinions of Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon. V'chiteima hachanami yeshlo lahachila b'choizeres. You might say that even in the context of get, there is truma eating rites that are achieved. If we look in Rashi, second line from the bottom, V'im toimar hochonami yesh lo l'achyal yedei gerushin gemurim b'chozeres dim hoya megarsha legamri hoysa chozeres lebeis aviyo v'cheles b'truma. If a man, let's say he was a non-Kohen, divorced a Bas Kohen, through the divorce, she goes back to her father's house and picks up where she left off when she was single. She restarts her truma consumption by virtue of the fact she's the daughter of a Kohen. So that Gerushin is a means of granting truma eating rights under that type of circumstance. So the Gemara says no, if that doesn't qualify as being called Yesh L'Acha B'Mokam Acher. Chozeres Poska Minei. Through the case of Chozeres, she becomes detached from him, from the husband or the Yavam that is divorcing her. The act of get is a discontinuation, a cutting off. And Ukrova the Beinosha, she's related to her father's house. Avalha, Agida Bey. But here, in the case of the Kohen Gadol, correction. But here in the case of the Yavam who gave her a get, she is still attached to him. So it's not parallel to the case of Chozeres. Hence, Reish Lakish takes the position that a Yavam, that even if he did Mimer with the Yavama, but then gave her a get, she is considered Mishtameres Labia Psula, a Bia Psula, which is characterized as Ein Lo Lahachil B'Mokoim Achir. Hence, she would become disqualified from the Truma. We should just mention, even though it may be obvious to most of you, when the Gemara says Ha'agido Bey, the Yavam that gave her a get, she still is attached to the Yavam because the only way to release a Yavama is through Chalitza. We said that the get is only an instrument on a rabbinic level, but Midorais, in order to release her, Chalitza would be necessary. The presence of the get, it's true, the get undoes the Mimer, the money that was given to her, but that too was only rabbinic. So the rabbinic get undoes the rabbinic money given to her, but she still is attached to him, and hence it is not parallel to the case of a get that is responsible for her resuming truma consumption in her father's house, because there was poskomine. She was totally cut off from her husband. The Mishnah on Daf Nun Vav Amud Beis had said, Nisarmalu o Nisgarshu v'chulei. And the Gemara, actually we should glance at the side, take advantage of our topic heading, the Nosei, Yodua she mitzvahs kohen gadol, it is known that the mitzvah, the command of a kohen, the commandment applying to a kohen gadol in his marriage, is biktana oy naro v'loy boigeres. With a girl who has not reached the age of 12 and a half. Bogeris is a term, 12 and a half. Ktano is a girl up till age 12. Anara is from 12 to 12 and a half. This is what the Torah requires of a Kohen Gadol when he is choosing a wife. He's choosing a wife that is as a Kohen Gadol. Ma din Kohen Gadol she'ireis ktano uvimeho erisin bogra. What would be the din of a Kohen Gadol who entered Erusin with a girl that is suitable for him, a Ketana? But over the course of time, during, we'll say, the waiting period between Erusin and Nisuin, that is the waiting time between the initial betrothal and the consummation of the marriage, she reached the stage of Bogeres. Mahu l'koinsa, can he take her in? Boser Erusin Azlinon? Do we follow the Erusin time and let that establish the halacha, and it was kosher then? Or do we emphasize the time of Nisuin, that establishes the tone of halacha, and he would not be able to take her in? We have a mivneh, structural note, where the triangle appears in two directions, the point facing up. This is, of course, with the two directions, a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of the give and take style. The point facing up, sheila, question, and the inverted triangle, a response. The Gemara. Ba mine Rav Chiya bar Yosef mishmuel. Rav Chiya asks, of Shmuel, kein gadol shekidesh es haktana ubogro tachtov. A kohen gadol who gave money in marriage, in kiddushin and erusin of a girl, and she was still a ketana, she was kosher for him. Ubogro tachtov, and she became a boigeres. Boigeres is above the age of 12 and a half, so that if you you know the beginning of Maseches Ksubis, so you know there that the time period for the marriage of a basula is 12 months, the time period between Erusin and Nisuin. So if he had done Erusin with her just before she turned 12, by the time the Nisuin takes place, she will have become a Boigeres. So the Kohen Gadol was Mekanesh Iktana, and in the interim she became a Boigeres. And we emphasize again, a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to initiate a marriage with a Boigeres. Here he didn't initiate the initial stage of the marriage was not with her as a Boigeres, but she became thus in the interim. Mahu, what is the din regarding, we're at the top of Daf Nun Tes Omid Aleph, what is the din with regard to taking her in to consummate the marriage? Boser Nisuin Azlinon, do we follow the Nisuin time period, and at that point she would be prohibited? Oy Boser Erusin Azlinon, or do we emphasize the time of Erusin? That's the question. Answer, Omar Lei, Shmuel's response to Nisuha. Let us conclude it from the Mishnah. Nisarmalu Oy Nisgarshu. The Mishnah continues with which it had opened up with, where a Kohen was Mekadesh a woman osur to him. So now they became almonis, the Kohen died or divorced her. Min hanisuin psulos. If the divorce is after they had achieved nisuin, so they're unfit. Min ho'erusin ksheros. If they are divorced from having reached only the erusin stage, so they are not disqualified. So what do we see from this? Rashi points this out, that we see that psul kahuna is established by nisuin. That namely, an almona that had reached erusin with a kohen gadol, forbidden type of marriage, and the kohen gadol died before the nisuin, she's not disqualified. So we see that nisuin is the determining factor regarding that which is prohibited or permitted with regard to laws of kahuna. So if that would be the case, a kohen gadol that did erusin with a kosher girl, that is the time of erusin she was kosher, but at the time of nisuin she's unfit, so he would not be allowed to take her in, because we look at things in terms of nisuin. Omar Lay. So in response to this answer, Rav Chiya bar Yosef says back to Shmuel, "L'shavya chalola lo komebaya li debiyohi demeshavya chalola." As far as the Mishnah is concerned, it speaks about psulos or not psulos or ksheros.
when we speak about her becoming psula, as far as her becoming a halola, that's a woman that had intimacy against the rules of kahuna. So in terms of establishing her as psula, there's no question, there's no question that the intimacy is that which establishes the status of halola. And that was the topic of the Mishnah. My question, though, is not dealing with establishing a halola. Ki komabayali, what I am asking is about the explanation of this pasuk in Vayikra Perek Chof Aleph regarding a kohen gadol. It says, "Vehu isha bivsuleho yikach." My, the word yikach, it means the kohen gadol shall take a virgin woman. And we, when we speak about a basula, let us point out that a bogeres, a girl who reaches 12 and a half, even though she didn't experience intimacy, the fact that the anatomically she is growing, and the we'll call it the anatomical area of virginity under question, it be the opening there becomes, the aperture becomes wider, and hence she's not considered a besula anymore, even though it's not a function of losing virginity through intimacy. Nevertheless, through aging, if you will, through reaching 12 and a half, so the concept of besula with regard to a kohen gadol, she is no longer that. So the pasuk says that he shall take a besula. My, what does that mean? Taking kicha de kiddushin bo'inan, oy kicha de nisuin bo'inan. Is it the kicha of kiddushin, the initial betrothal, or is the pasuk referring to kicha of nisuin, of consummation? Omar Le, Shmuel responds, ha nami tenisua, that too you can determine from a Tanaic source. It says, ires es soalmona, a regular kohen who did erusin with an almona, that's okay, that's kosher, v'nisman eliyos kohen gadol, and after he betrothed the widow, he was appointed to be a kohen gadol, yichnois, he is allowed to take her in to consummate the marriage. What do we see? We see that we emphasize the point of time of erusin. So if that be the case, so then back to our original question about a kohen gadol that did kiddushin or erusin with a besula, and before the nisuin she became a bogeres, we wouldn't emphasize the fact that she became a bogeres at the point of nisuin, because at the point of erusin she was still a ktana and kosher to the kohen gadol. The Gemara responds, so Reb Chiya bar Yosef responds to Shmuel, and he says, that's not a good source for my issue. Shiny Hassam Dichtiv. There it's different, because the pasuk says, ki im besula bi'amov yikach isha. Namely, the case of erusin with an almona is different, because you have a gzeres hakosuv which makes that possible. The Rashi points out that the word isha is a kro yasera, and from this extra word we include that a kohen hegyot, a standard kohen, a common kohen that was mikadesh an almona, then he became appointed later as a kohen gadol, he can take her in. The Gemara asks, well, hachanami ksiv isha, but in the same context we're dealing with a kohen gadol, and you have the word isha, so let it apply also to the kohen gadol that was mekadesh the ketana, and in the interim she became a bogeres, and let it be okay. The Gemara says, you can't include another case of leniency. Achas v'lo shtayim. We can be marbe, we can include another one case, an additional case of leniency, but not two. Gemara asks, ma rois, what is it that you see to choose the case of almona betrothed by a Kohen Hedyot that can be taken in by the Kohen Hedyot who becomes appointed as a Kohen Gadol, and we don't include the case of the Ketana who became a Bogeres. The Gemara answers, I'll tell you why. Ha, the case of the Bogeres, Ishtini Gufa. There is a physical, anatomical change to her body. It's a very significant change. She's not the same as she was before. She went from Ketana to to Bogeres, which involves a physical change. The Ha, in the case of the Almona that was betrothed by the Kohen Hedyot, who later was appointed as Kohen Gadol, lo ishtini gufa. There wasn't a change. So it's not as radical a leniency. And therefore, we don't include that case. So to rely, let us say, on Shmuel's answer to allow the Kohen Gadol to consummate the marriage with her as a Bogeres, we cannot conclude that from over here. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.